You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Barrett. Coming up, a lot of adults should be screened for anxiety, according to new recommendations from a federal task force. We'll find out why and take a look at the impact of anxiety. First, it's our fall member drive. Your support is the foundation of funding for Wisconsin public radio programs. It's the largest piece. It's what makes the Ideas Network your go-to place for great conversations. That's why Larry Mueller is with me now to encourage you to make your gift in support of the programs that you count on. Do it online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Last hour, we heard from nine folks, new and returning members. Thank you so much for those gifts. Right now, we have a dollar-for-dollar match, Rob, up to $3,000.
All right.
All right. This generous match is from current members, including a member from Random Lake, and it means they'll match every dollar you give.
It's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. Great opportunity. Double your support for the programs you love. Give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We have a kind of a weird funding model here at Public Radio. It's unique, it's for sure. It's a two-way street that creates a high-quality product. This is how it works. You voluntarily contribute, and in turn, you get back programs that are accountable only to you.
It's unique, it's weird, but it works. You get programs worth listening to because you step up and support them. Make your contribution to independent news, information, and music right now. Help pay for all the programs you enjoy on Wisconsin Public Radio. Make a gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I wish I could show you those socks. The socks are, well, you could go online to look at the socks.
At WPR.org? Is that where people can find
it? I think that's where they can go. And it's a way to put your best foot forward.
Oh, I get it.
Let's see, you need to give $15 a month or more. These Argyle-inspired socks show off the variety of WPR services you rely on every day. News, information, and entertainment, all with a Wisconsin perspective. I wish I could wear shorts now that I could wear those socks and just show them off even more. Get your pair today with your gift of $15 a month or more at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
All right, I pull up a picture of the sock. I can't embiggen it. I can't make it bigger. In the thumbnail, it looks like pretty cool socks, Larry.
I like those socks. Yeah. I like the socks.
All right. They can be yours. Give $15 a month or more for that pair of socks. And, you know, we really do count on you to help pay for everything at Wisconsin Public Radio. We've mentioned it a couple times, but it's true. You, listeners, you are the largest source of revenue here at Wisconsin Public Radio. You help pay for really everything you hear when you give. That's why it's such a big deal. That's why we're here asking you to give right now. Make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we really do understand the importance of trust here at WPR, the trust that you'll hear quality programs every day, the trust that you'll get the very best information.
And you trust when you tune in that you're going to be inspired, informed, and entertained every time you turn on the radio.
We've been building a relationship of trust for many, many years. And because you value this unique radio service, you know you can trust it. So support it right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
How do you know it's time to donate to WPR? You're listening right now to our fall member drive. Whether you tune in for a favorite program or you check in repeatedly through the day or the week, you've made a habit of listening.
Now make it a habit of giving. Listener support is the largest source of funding for our shows. And when you give, you make the programs and services you come to rely on possible. And it's really easy to donate. Get started right now with your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
We've got this dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now, up to $3,000. Would love to hit that. It means if you give now, your gift will be doubled. And you know what? I was on the morning show, Larry, with Kate Archer-Kent today. They had a $3,000 match, and we hit it in the morning. And, you know, I don't think things personally or nothing, but I hate to think that you, like, everybody likes Kate and doesn't like Central Time. I don't know. Forget it. I'm not thinking about that. But I do hope you will take advantage of this opportunity to get your gift matched right now. Give it WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We did that in the middle of the day, too, and made our goal. So we need to do it.
Wow.
So
okay.
We
Thanks,
need
Larry.
To do it.
Wow.
We need to do it.
Pressure's on.
And as an added bonus for supporting the programs you love, your donation enters you to win $250 to spend on gas, food, drinks, and more at a Quick Trip. No contribution necessary. You can see WPR.org/drawing for details. But hey, better yet, you're automatically entered when you give any amount at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And sustainers making ongoing monthly gifts, you're automatically entered.
Give for great radio. Get the socks. Get your gift matched. Enter that drawing. Great time to give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you. This is Central Time. The U.S. Preventive Services Task Force drafted a recommendation last Tuesday for primary care providers to screen adult patients aged 19 to 64 for anxiety. The National Alliance on Mental Illness says almost 1 in 5 adults in the U.S. have an anxiety disorder. The task force is taking public comment before the draft is finalized October 17th. We want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Do you like this idea that you could be screened for anxiety by your primary care doctor, part of the normal routine? Why do you like it? Why not? If you work in healthcare, what do you think about the new recommendation? What questions do you have about diagnosing and treating anxiety? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Dr. Marcia Slattery works in pediatric psychiatry at UW Health. She's a professor of psychiatry and pediatrics at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health and director of the UW Anxiety Disorders Program for Children, Adolescents, and Adults. Dr. Slattery, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks, Rob. It's great to join you.
What was some of the reasoning behind this, at least preliminary recommendation, to say, hey, yeah, let's screen for anxiety in our office visits for adults?
Well, you touched on it on your introduction in reporting how common anxiety is. So at least 1 in 5, and many people would argue that it's higher than that, particularly in women, but high across the board, children, adolescents, and adults. And despite it being very common and very prevalent, it's underdiagnosed and missed across the board as well. And I think these screening guidelines are to try to address that problem.
Underdiagnosed, you mentioned. A lot of people can go a long time with anxiety and not know about it, right?
That's correct. If you talk to most adults that have been diagnosed with an anxiety disorder, they'll tell you that their anxiety started in childhood and will have been there for many years before they actually, one, may identify it as anxiety, and two, to seek treatment. Oftentimes, over 20 years before the onset of symptoms between and the time that they go to their primary care physician, which is where they typically will go initially, and appropriately so. So there's this long span of time where there's been a tremendous amount of anxiety that's undertreated. And what we're recognizing more and more is that untreated anxiety definitely has an impact on people. And so if we can identify it sooner, we can certainly intervene sooner and hopefully have better outcomes.
Right. I wanted to ask you about those interventions. There's no point, I guess, in screening if we can't do anything about it. What kind of treatments are out there for people?
There are many good treatments that have been empirically tested, both in terms of different types of psychotherapies, as well as medications that are used. And that's really where we're at in the field in terms of being able to delineate what is the need of each patient. So being diagnosed with an anxiety disorder doesn't automatically mean that you're placed on a medication. Mm-hmm. The converse is that sometimes medications can be incredibly helpful. We have to remember that anxiety, though it's an emotion, it has a biological basis in the brain. And just like any other organ in our body that may have it can be off somewhat. For example, if we have a problem with our lungs, we have trouble breathing, et cetera. In our brain, if that is off the chemistry, so to speak, in terms of connections and neurotransmitters, that can contribute to symptoms such as anxiety. So it makes sense that we also then have a role for pharmacotherapy medications in many cases. The psychotherapy is really learning what to do. As I described to patients many times, the medications lets the machine work good, and the psychotherapy tells us how to use it. Medications aren't going to tell us how to deal with stress, how to deal with the anxiety situations that come up. We need to learn those and retrain our brain, where the medication is optimizing that biological function for us to be able to then do the therapy and make the changes.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Carly is with us in Kewaunee. Carly, hello.
Hello.
What did you want to bring up, Carly?
I just was hearing the question, and it made me, you know, hopeful for a lot of, especially the younger adults. I know when I was that age, 18, 19, and I had said the word anxiety to a former boss, and he said, "You're too young to have anxiety." And, you know, knowing now what I know, it would have been nice to have been validated and even just to understand that that's what I was feeling and that it's okay and that there's other, you know, there's therapy or medication or anything to help me would have been nice. So, you know, having that conversation even with your parents sometimes is hard. So just to have that be a routine screen could change a lot of people's lives.
Carly, thanks a lot for the call. Dr. Slattery, what do you think?
I think those are excellent points. We screen for different problems in our office visits with our primary care all the time for respiratory problems. You have problems breathing, cardiac, you have chest pain. This should be incorporated in a way that we talk about, do you have anxiety? Do you notice these symptoms of anxiety? Here's what we can do for that. And I think being able to identify it and normalize it really opens it up for a much broader opportunity to have the discussion, take away more of the stigma, and really have some interventions that can make some meaningful change.
Carly, thanks a lot for sharing your story and your thoughts on that. We're talking to Dr. Marcia Slattery, pediatric psychiatrist at UW Health, director of the UW Anxiety Disorders Program, with us today to talk about new recommendations from a U.S. task force that suggests healthcare providers screen adults for anxiety, age 18 to 64. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you've experienced anxiety, do you wish this had been there for you? If you work in healthcare, what do you think about this recommendation? Call it at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking to Dr. Marcia Slattery, psychiatrist at UW Health, director of the UW Anxiety Disorders Program, about a new recommendation from the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force suggesting healthcare providers screen patients for anxiety. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Let's go back to your calls. Nick is with us in Green Bay. Nick, hello.
Hi. I got hurt last year, June 9th, 21. At 8:30 in the morning. I remember it completely because that person got killed. I got a TBI, and anxiety is 24/7. It's been the worst thing in the world. I get rid of all my guns because of it, because having the TBI, anxiety, depression, oh my God, it's horrible. My wife gets so mad at me because I keep telling her I wish the accident was fatal because it's horrible. The only thing the doctors do, they're just like, take these drugs, take these drugs. Everything's got side effects, and I'm really touchy. All the doctors, they just gave up on me. They're like, we don't know what to do for you. Anxiety is all the time. It's horrible.
Well, Nick, I'm so sorry to hear that. A traumatic brain injury, TBI. Best to you. I hope you can find some kind of help. This is Dr. Slattery, one of the causes of anxiety people can encounter, I think, a traumatic brain injury. What do we know about that connection?
Well, as I was mentioning before, we have to remember that anxiety has a biological basis in the brain. So when we have a brain injury, the parts of the brain are very interconnected. So trauma or damage to one part of the brain very often affects other parts of the brain. And anxiety and depression, mental health symptoms are very commonly associated with traumatic brain injury. So really sorry for what you've gone through all these years. I understand exactly what you're saying. And I think that's important for listeners to also remember. When we think of anxiety, it's not just feeling anxious here and then. It's very much a pervasive problem, as you're describing, our caller, in terms of it can totally disrupt a person's life. And also, I think importantly, contribute to other problems like depression, risk of substance use goes up substantially, as well as risk of suicide. People start feeling overwhelmed and that there's no hope. These are really the cardinal symptoms that we have to get at when we're having the screenings, because people with anxiety, one, often say they don't feel heard, and also it's hard to talk about these things. And they, as I mentioned before, will often hold it internally and not talk about it to present to their primary care physician, often referred to as silent sufferers, that just hold it inside before finally talking talking to someone about it. And it's important therefore that the primary care providers are knowledgeable about this, are comfortable asking the questions, and are also comfortable being able to link with what resources are available and or to talk about what interventions might be done in the primary care office.
Nick, thanks for being willing to share that with us. We're pulling for you. Thanks for calling. Michael is with us now in Appleton. Michael, hello.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for taking my call, and thanks for this conversation. I think it's really important. I just wanted to share, as someone who has received psychiatric care for anxiety and several other comorbidities for the last 20 or so years, and someone who talks a lot with other people about mental illness and mental health, something that I've heard seems to echo the previous caller and the remarks the doctor was just making about primary care physicians. Something that I've heard and both heard and experienced can be difficulty finding the right medication with a primary care physician, and then with long wait times around the state in a lot of places for psychiatric care.
I gotcha, Michael. We don't have too much time left with our guests, but I think we take your point, Dr. Slattery. Are primary care physicians trained enough to deal with these things, find the right combination of medication and treatment, especially given, as Michael says, there may not be a lot of access to, you know, more specialized care?
Right. The primary care physicians, providers, have training in anxiety and mental health problems. When there are problems or questions about treatment, for example, the medications aren't working, we're not sure what's happening, certainly at that point, it's often best to refer to a specialist, just like we would in any other specialty, to obtain more information. Many times, the medication issue, which I'm often asked about, it might be that it's not the right fit for that person, but there might also be other problems that are contributing to the anxiety that are not being addressed with the right medication. So it's a complex assessment process that the primary care physician can do a lot within the office, but can also refer out if there is more of a problem with complexity.
Thanks a lot for that call. In our last minute or so, Dr. Slattery, given that this isn't part of screening right now, what are some of the warning signs, the red flags people can watch for in themselves or maybe a loved one to say, oh yeah, this might be untreated anxiety?
I think the important things are to notice, do you often feel tense, keyed up? Worries are very common, feeling nervous, feeling a sense of apprehension. And also one of the key symptoms that are often is often missed is irritability and annoyance. That's very, very common and often can interfere with relationships at home, at work, etc. So if you're noticing that every day is really stressful, that it's tense, that it's trying to get through the day instead of being able to manage the day and enjoy the day, there may be some anxiety there that's contributing to the problems that you're experiencing.
Dr. Slattery, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me in this important discussion.
That's Dr. Marcia Slattery, director of the UW Anxiety Disorders Program for Children, Adolescents, and Adults. Dr. Slattery joins us to talk about a U.S. task force suggesting anxiety screening for anyone aged 19 to 64 as part of primary care visits. Now it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. Larry Mueller joins us now. Your gift makes a huge difference because listeners are the largest source of funding for WPR programs. Step up and be counted as a supporter with your gift right now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And we have a dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now from current members, including a member from Random Lake. And so your gift of $50, it turns into $100, $100 into $200, and so on. Take advantage of this match and double your support for Wisconsin Public Radio programs when you give right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
We had just had that conversation about anxiety and new draft guidelines saying, hey, we need more screening for anxiety, maybe even in our primary care doctor visits, talking about some of the causes, the various treatments for anxiety. You shared your stories, which is fantastic. That's why we do call-in shows. It was great to hear from you. Really hoping for the best for the people who called in today. It's an example of the important conversations and the stories we hear from our guests and from you all the time here on Central Time.
Remember, WPR is listener-supported, and that means that your donation at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 makes the many topics, like the one we just heard on anxiety screening, so important and makes every day a good day to learn, I think. Choose an amount that works for you and then make your gift.
We're talking a lot about becoming a sustainer during this fall drive when you make ongoing monthly contributions from your bank account or your credit card. Here's a nice bonus benefit. As a sustainer, you're automatically entered in member drive drawings.
This could be your lucky drive. We have a drawing for a $250 quick trip gift card to spend on gas, food, beverages, and more. So start your ongoing monthly gifts today. You'll be entered into this drawing and all future ones when you become a sustainer at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
That drawing, we've got this dollar-for-dollar match going on. Looks like about another $2,000 left in that. We want to make sure we take full advantage of that. You can make your gift go twice as far when you give right now. And Larry, we've got this tote bag out there, right?
We have this tote bag, and we've got socks. We've got just about everything. I'll tell you what, that tote bag, I think it's $10 a day, or $10 a month, isn't it?
$10 a month. You can give $10 a day if you want. But, yeah, $10 a month bags you a bag, the new WPR tote bag. What is it? Blue and orange this time around, so it's going to look really cool. You can carry stuff in it, as I understand the technology. It is yours. Ask for it when you give $10 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And our dollar-for-dollar match, don't forget about that. There's still at least $2,000 or at least $1,000 left. I think there's more that we have yet to raise this hour. So please, if you haven't given, give right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, and your support of WPR goes twice as far.
Scott in Kohler says, I've listened for years but never donated. It was time to step up and contribute. Thanks so much, Scott. How about you? If you've never given before, it's a great time to do it right now. Get in that drawing. Your gift will be doubled with this match still in effect. Make that gift right now. It takes just a few minutes online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. Thank you so much for supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. Central Time, I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we'll talk with members of a Milwaukee group that helps religious orders with declining memberships carry on their mission by finding new uses for their land and buildings. Now, Larry Mueller joins me for the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. You count on the Ideas Network for great conversations. We count on you to help keep these discussions on the air.
Listener support is the largest piece of funding that makes this show possible and the others you enjoy. That's why your gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 is so, so, so important.
We've got this great dollar-for-dollar match in effect, up to $3,000 right now. It's a great time to give because current members, including a member in Random Lake, will double every dollar you give. It's their way of inspiring you to support Wisconsin Public Radio. I hope it works. We're a little behind track
here.
I'm not gonna lie. Not terrible. I don't want to overstate it, but we're not where we need to be to take full advantage of that. By the end of this hour, double the impact of the gift that you give right now online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
You listen to the Ideas Network. You're smart. You want to know what's going on, both in the news and in the culture around us. And here we are right with you, exploring the angles on Central Time.
Now, this show has a real Wisconsin focus, connecting you with guests from around the state, issues that affect your life, interesting things going on in communities around the state, maybe in your backyard. Listener support makes all the stories you hear on Central Time possible. Join in with your gift right now. It makes a big difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You should make the gift that works for you, and for you, that might be a gift of $100 or $200 a month.
Maybe that's what you pay for cable, your family phone plan. Listening to WPR is something you do every day. Put a value on it like other things that are important to you. Do it online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
We have an exciting drawing today. You'll be entered to win a $250 Quick Trip gift card when you donate any amount for the WPR programs you love. Fill up your tank, stock your pantry, or pick up takeout for dinner with $250 to spend on gas and convenience store items. You'll have 5 chances to win. No contribution is necessary. You can send in a postcard with your name, address, email, and phone to WPR Gas Card Drawing, 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706. Better yet, you're automatically entered when you make a donation of any amount. Here's how.
Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make your donation. Get your gift doubled. It's Central Time. Rob Ferret here with Larry Mueller. Your support during this fall member drive makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. Your gift of 10 or 20 bucks a month, whatever you choose, is the right amount to give.
Supporting Wisconsin Public Radio right now is a great thing to do with a few minutes of your time. All you need is your name, contact information, how much you'd like to give, and how you'd like to pay.
And then your gift supports the stories and programs that keep you connected to the world. Give now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
You know, there aren't many important things you can accomplish in just a few minutes. You can, What could we do in just a few minutes? We can't solve a scientific mystery. We can't get a degree, read a library book. Those things take years, but you can make a difference in just a few minutes when you make a gift to Wisconsin Public Radio.
A few minutes of your time really does make a big difference. Give now. Get your gift doubled when you give during this dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now, and support the conversations that you count on each and every day. It's easy. It takes just a few minutes of your time. Give at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552, and thank you so much for your support. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Orders of Catholic sisters are aging and shrinking in many places. When convents close their doors, religious orders have to decide what to do with their land and their buildings. That's where the Milwaukee-based organization Nuns and Nones steps in. That's Nuns, N-U-N-S, and Nuns, N-O-N-E-S. They're taking a new look at the ways that church-owned properties can be transformed into spaces that benefit the community and, in some cases, carry on the mission of the original institution. Sister Eileen McKenzie is president of the Franciscan Sisters of Perpetual Adoration in La Crosse. Sister Eileen, thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
And Brittany Kotelis is director of the Nuns and Nones Land Justice Project based in Milwaukee. Brittany, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Let's start, Brittany, with the name of the organization, Nuns and Nones. I spell it out, N-U-N-N-O-N-E. Could you tell us the story behind the name?
Yeah, thanks for spelling it out. Helps people grab on. Nuns and Nones was started really as a place of encounter between Catholic sisters and millennials often, but just people with a very diverse range of spiritual affiliations, often who also identify as activists. Our generation is the least religiously affiliated generation in the United States. So that kind of earns our nickname for checking none of the above on the religion question. And the Land Justice Project grew out of this work after about 5 years of building relationships, organizing, and creating dialogues and encounters between these groups about spirituality, justice, and community. And through that work, we realized there was another bridge to build, which is between the world of Catholic sisters entering into property discernment and the climate justice movement and its really creative ways that it's building land access to use for regenerative purposes.
And Brittany, can you talk about the kind of transitions from, say, a Catholic convent land to what? What kind of things do they transition into?
To a Black farming cooperative, to an indigenous an indigenous-run cultural and habitat restoration program, to cooperatives that are doing work to restore and regenerate the land in ways that also build back our local food systems and really build climate resilience, especially for the communities that have been most impacted by climate change, people of color and poor and working class people especially.
Sister Eileen, what led you into working with the Nuns and Nuns Project?
Well, we've been affiliated with the Nuns and Nuns for years now. We're affiliated with just several different, you know, places in society that that are discerning just movements toward more dignity and more sacredness of life and creation. So as we've been working with them and discerning with them in different ways, this particular project, the Land Justice Project, is right in line with what we're doing in discerning next steps with how we share what we've been given with the rest of the world. Our own congregation has been doing land justice work for decades. We find that, you know, we're Franciscans, and you know, Mother Earth is completely sacred to us, and we're in relationship with her in many different ways. And we have a spirituality center that kind of cultivates that spirituality in Iowa, and we have here in La Crosse a very special piece of land at our Villa St. Joseph, where we're focusing on integral ecological education and how to partner with people in the area. And so we just see that this is a natural deepening relationship with the Nuns and Nuns, where we're learning together what different opportunities are out there and how to support each other in just creating an earth community that is more just and healing.
And Sister Eileen, I think people might think of a religious order, a convent, and ecology doesn't necessarily pop into their minds. Land justice might not pop into their minds. Can you connect the dots between the two missions?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there are a lot of religious sisters that respect Mother Earth. I mean, we are part of creation. Catholic social teaching teaches how important, you know, care of the earth is, and just as much as care of the poor. In fact, the Pope's recent Laudato Si, is the teaching out of that is that it has to be integrated, care of the earth and care of the poor. In fact, I believe that he even mentions how Mother Earth is the new wave of the suffering poor. And so it's not uncommon to see religious sisters very aware of the intersection between people who are poor in the street, and they're not having access to healthy food. They're not having access to garden plots, you know, to even, you know, garden their own food. They're intricately related, and I think that sisters are in the forefront, actually, of raising this awareness.
We're talking to Sister Eileen McKenzie and Brittany Kotelis about their work for the Nuns and Nuns Land Justice Project. Brittany, I want to talk a little bit, kind of on a concrete level, of how the Land Justice Project works. If, say, an order comes to you and says, we've got this land, we don't want to just, you know, sell it for development or something, what's the process of figuring out the best ways to use it for your mission?
Yeah, so, I mean, picking up on what Eileen shared, I think sisters are coming to this work with such a deep legacy of looking at care of earth and conservation of land. I mean, I cannot count the acreage of land that Catholic sisters have helped conserve, protect, turn into eco-justice centers. I learned about permaculture from the Adrian Dominicans in Michigan. I mean, so, you know, that's what we're starting with. And when what we want to do, and, you know, we're starting a big course this spring to support sisters in property planning, because right now it's almost like we just want to expand the options that sisters are seeing as possible for their properties. They're already coming into this, you know, wanting to make the best impact on our ecology as possible. Depending on the financial reality of the community, selling might feel like the thing that they have to do. And then conservation feels like the other door. And we're trying to say, there's actually a lot of creative mixing and matching of lots of other doors that we can open. What does it look like to fundraise with partners so that a, you know, regenerative cooperative can afford to buy land, but they're going to need a 2-year window to do that. What does it look like to put the land into trust and, you know, bring a cooperative on it to start stewarding part of the land? So we're really looking at continuing Sisters' long legacy of protecting and conserving land with expanding, and this is the important part, equity and access for communities who have been historically denied land or from whom land has been stolen historically in the case of our indigenous peers.
Sister Eileen, I'm really curious, at a personal level, for sisters who might have worked at one of these institutions for decades maybe themselves and know it's got this history and tradition going back maybe decades before that, what does it mean for them to know that even though it's not going to keep being the same thing that they lived in for so long, that it's going to achieve the mission, but maybe in a different way? Sister Eileen, do we have you?
Yeah, there we go. Sorry, Rob.
That's okay.
I think that you just underscored the important point in this, in that this is just another aspect of our mission. This isn't that we are divesting of things because we're not in the convents anymore. This is a sign of the times. This is our new wave of mission that's emerging. Catholic Sisters have from the very beginning been looking at what is the call, how are we called to be present, to share gospel lives, to share love, to create the world in essentially to share the goodness, if I might use a very basic Franciscan understanding. And we've done that historically here in the United States by a long history of healthcare, by a history of education and pastoral work primarily. And now we, as there are congregations who continue in that and are doing wonderful work, there are congregations that are exploring the edges and are learning and are discovering new emergences that are coming with the signs of the times. And again, I keep going back to Pope Francis and the challenge that he offers religious congregations, which is go to the peripheries, you are needed. What are the signs of the times? It's about equity. It's about reconciliation. It's about human trafficking and freedom. It's about sharing, you know, it's really core sharing of the goodness and those of us who have been given or inherited properties in different ways, how do we share that with those who have not? And this is one of the ways that we're continuing to learn what we really sense is the call of the Spirit in justice and peace.
And Brittany, in just our last minute, can you tell us your hopes for the Land Justice Project in the next couple of years?
Oh, in 1 minute. I mean, I'm in this work because of the relationships that I think are possible, connecting these worlds and seeing what we can create together, seeing the lands that sisters have cared for help cultivate local climate resilience, while also healing generational harm that's been done because of the way that we've gone about land for the last 500 years. That to me is the next, that's what I know that sisters care about seeing in healing our ecologies and healing the racial injustice that is alive in the world today. And so seeing their legacy alive in this new way, that is what I dream of.
And we'll leave it there. Brittany, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
And Sister Eileen, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Rob. This is a pleasure.
We've been talking to Brittany Kotalis, Director of the Nuns and Nuns Land Justice Project, and Sister Eileen McKenzie, President of the Franciscan Sisters of Perpetual Adoration in La Crosse. They are with us today to share the work they're doing to conserve land no longer needed by religious orders. Now it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. Larry Mueller joins me. Your support is a big piece of the funding for all the programs you enjoy on WPR. It's the largest source of funding for WPR programs. Now, this drive, it's your chance to take action. You make it all possible when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And Rob, I really want to emphasize that we have that dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now and just for the next 5 minutes or so from current members, including a member in Random Lake. So your gift right now, $100 turns into $200, $50 into $100, and so forth. Take advantage of this match and double your support for Wisconsin Public Radio programs when you give right now in the next few minutes at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
That nuns and nuns land use conversation, just one of many interesting things going on in Wisconsin that you've heard about here on Central Time or the Larry Mueller Show or the Morning Show or from our WPR news team. It's an example of the kind of Wisconsin-focused coverage you can count on here on the Ideas Network.
WPR is listener-supported, and that means that your donation at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 makes the many topics you tune in for every day possible. So choose an amount that works for you and then make your gift.
Grab a thank you gift to WPR socks when you give $15 a month or more right now. Navy and gold socks with a cool design, Wisconsin Public Radio-centric. Get them. Get your gift doubled right now when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Let the world know WPR is your source for information and inspiration with the WPR NPR long sleeve t-shirt. Backed by popular demand, this navy cotton shirt features logos on the front and a Wisconsin-inspired design on the back. It'll be your go-to piece for staying cozy and showing off your WPR pride this winter. Ask for yours today while supplies last. Give $20 a month or more. Here's how.
Give at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make your donation this fall member drive. Get it doubled with a dollar-for-dollar match. Central Time, Rob Ferret here with Larry Mueller. The WPR programs you enjoy are all possible thanks to you and your support. Your contribution of $10 a month or $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, really makes a big difference.
You might be wondering how much to give, and really that's up to you. Your contribution of any amount will turn into programs that keep you informed and entertained all year long.
And in just the next few minutes, it gets doubled. So make your gift really right now in the amount that's right for you at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. Thank you for making an investment that serves your whole community.
And in fact, this might be a perfect time, if you've never given to WPR before, to make your gift today of, say, $10 or $20 a month. For hundreds of hours of listening, that makes WPR one of the best informative and entertaining programs and bargains you'll find anywhere. Your gift, no matter what the amount, go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution.
And get that dollar-for-dollar match. It's still in effect. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and your support of WPR will go twice as far.
Support the programs you value and show off your love for WPR with the latest WPR tote bag. This handsome blue and orange design will pop up really well, won't it, as you carry it for work?
Oh, yeah. It'll really stand out.
I think it's going to stand out, and it's especially if you've got the socks to go with it. It starts with your gift of $10 a month or more at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Clock is ticking on this dollar-for-dollar match. You get your gift doubled when you give today. You are entered in a raffle, a drawing, one of five winners of a Quick Trip $250 gift card. Maybe pick up socks or a tote along the way. A lot of great reasons to give, and give right now. Online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And become a sustainer. You can do it right now. Easy to set up. You'll make ongoing monthly donations to your bank account or credit card a lot of people use. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to provide reliable support for the programs that you love.
Whatever you give, however you give, know that you count on Wisconsin Public Radio for great conversations all week long, and we really do count on you to help pay for it. Make your gift right now. Get it doubled under this match. Just a few moments left to do that. If you get online right now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And thanks so much for your gift.